Council tax opposed, favor, and it is presented by Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Chairman. Apologies for the length of this report. We are obliged to put forward every year the details of the scheme. It's the statutory annual review and report to the council. I'm pleased to say that despite the intense financial pressures of which all members are aware, we have managed to preserve the scheme with its basic entitlements and funding still in place. Members will recall that in fact in previous years entitlements have been reduced by 10% under the independent administration in 2012-13 and by 10% under a conservative administration in 2017-18. This report is not proposing any further reduction. This year the amendments are relatively minor and have three main elements. Firstly, to reduce the constant changes required as a result of the fluctuations in the income of claimants, often as a result of changes in the universal credit entitlement, which causes distress and uncertainty, as well as practical difficulties as a result of over-assessment. We want to avoid that. Secondly, it introduces some additional disregards, as well as preserving the existing disregards. As an example of the new disregard, we now take account of carers' income, and that is benefit claimants. And lastly, to reduce the complexity and cost of administration, so helping to contain back office costs, which is part of our commitment to improving efficiency. And I have to say the banding scheme which is proposed is also something which many of the councils are doing in response to those difficulties. If the council are minded to approve option 2, there would be a very slight adjustment in the total amount managed through the scheme. We assess it at about 148,000, but that is in a scheme cost of 10.3 million, which is about 0.15%. Last year, the assessed cost, which of course is actually a loss of income rather than payment in cash, was £10 million. The outturn was 10.3. So that adjustment actually is within the margin of error in such a large amount. The scheme benefits around about 10,500. Sorry, Chairman, with your indulgence, so I'll finish it using my item. The scheme benefits about 10,500 of the poorest people in our society. About half of those beneficiaries are pensioners, and so have any entitlement fully protected up to 100%. The other half of people of working age whose earnings are too low or outgoings too high to enable them to pay full amount of council tax. That group of people who are still under this scheme have up to £7 in every £10 they earn, paid for by other rail taxpayers using this scheme. And that means we have to put in about £3.25 million of locally raised council tax to support the scheme. It's known as the funding gap. I'm pleased to say we're also preserving the hardship scheme, so those who find it difficult even to pay this level can be individually helped according to their circumstances. The hardship scheme was introduced at a nominal figure of 100,000 because we weren't sure of the likely drawdown, and officers have been instructed to view every claim sympathetically. In 2018, there was a drawdown of 18,000 against the fund, and in the year to date, about 12,500. I'm very well aware that some won't claim, but nevertheless, all are advised of the fund and helped if they find difficulties in payment. Because the key elements of the scheme are unchanged, I'm expecting that fund to be sufficient to meet all claims both this year and next. However, should more unexpectedly be needed, it will be made available. I should mention, although it's not part of this report, that this council also manages and pays out a further £50 million to islanders every year under the government benefit scheme. So we have some substantial support there. I commend the recommendation in the report to members and offer a seconder.
Second.
Yes, seconded. Thank you, members. Any members' comments?
Chair, if I may, I wish to move an amendment. It's probably a misunderstanding on my part, but I thought that amendment would have been circulated already. That is the time of my fault. I was reading and I wish to propose, which is to replace recommendation 4.1 as follows: to implement a CTS reduction scheme to include a maximum level of liability of 75% for working age council taxpayers, subject to the Cabinet adding the additional cost to their budget saving proposals to be considered by full council in February 2020 for the financial year 2020-21. And further, to replace recommendation 4.2 as follows: in accordance with recommendation 4.1 above, to adopt the new council tax reduction scheme as proposed as a green model from April 2020 and implement option 2 as the preferred income grid scheme, but with bands 1, 2, and 3 attracting a maximum level of liability of 75%. I will, of course, reduce that to writing for you as needed. The purpose of doing this, first of all, consistency. You will recall that I've used a similar amendment in the last two years, and I wish to do so again.
One more, please, Chair. Yeah, can I ask why we haven't got a copy of this rather extended amendment, which in principle sounds something I could support, but I would like to be able to see the word in
the about it.
Could we allow a few minutes just to have a look at it before the Council of Garrett proposes the amendment?
Chair, I agree. Could we take 5 minutes, please, because we've just been presented literally with a series of words, don't know what we're talking about in detail, and I'd like to actually have time with my colleagues to read the papers. So.
Yeah, I may finish presenting your amendment, Mr. Asker.
I don't know if we'll speak to it, but obviously it's presented, but I still have some remarks to explain it.
Yeah, so the slight strange. We really talk to
you.
But it does need explanation from the
seconded by Councillor Barry. We then found this to read the paper and to discuss the last point.
Managing their finances as effectively as possible. And I think that's kind of I would find that insulting if I were to listen now. I think that the poorest are probably the best at managing their monies because they absolutely have to. And I would hope actually that the phrasing of that section might be looked at to bring about a more engaging rather than paternalistic approach to the application of that fund. That fund exists, but it very much discretionary at the council's give or take. What I'm proposing here is that we say to those people who are struggling the most that we recognise that, and I'm sure all of us in an ideal world would go back to a 100% situation. Here we can go to a 75% situation for those who are hardest hit. And I would hope there would be a discussion to follow, but to at least recognise across the chamber that whatever decisions we take tonight, we are remembering those that struggle, that don't have that spare piece of change, that are delighting to find that the money that is down at the back of the sofa, because it makes a huge difference. And some of us have been in that situation, I know from previous speeches in this chamber, that they know that finding an extra few pence a week can make a great difference. So I'm not trying to lambast the administration. I believe that if you would agree with me that in an ideal world we would revert to a 100% situation and help people who are their most difficult. But I am asking those across the way to consider, actually, do you think this is now the time to start restoring some of that help that we could give to those people?
Thank you, Councillor. We have a seconder. Councillor Barry, do you wish to speak out? Is there a right to speak out? Thank you very much. I'll go to Councillor Denny.
I feel that it's important to emphasise that many families and families that are in my ward, neighbouring ward in Rye, don't see austerity going. They're actually really, really struggling. I would recommend to all members here that they actually see the latest Ken Loach film called Sorry We Missed You, which shows a working family who are on zero contract hours, the mother being a support worker, and the father working in 14, 15 hours delivering parcels by Amazon to our door. They're a working family that's really struggling of that. Well, those kinds of families are definitely living in my ward, who actually really find it very difficult. I have a food bank in my ward, and I regularly go. And most of the people that are using the food bank are actually working families that are really, really struggling, are heavily in debt. With that, and some of their jobs they do, like delivery ones, if they don't deliver on things on time, they get fined for that. So we have on this island many families that are really struggling, and even though I recognise your adjustments in the report about the universal credit and the flexibility, which I support, and I'm glad that you have that in the hardship fund. I do think there's a point that we can give extra help to those families who are at risk of coming into our statutory services, which we will then have to pay for. A family breaks down and actually cannot cope, and again, if you see the camera film, they're on the edge of that, then all those children, if they came into our care system, we have to pay a much higher price. So I just feel that it's important to get the message over of the families that are really struggling, and even though I support many of the things that you have in the council elections, and I do feel that if we actually increase back the reduction to 75%, we would actually send in a message
of the
listen.
Thank you. Thank you,
Councillor Lilly. Councillor Fuller, last you. Thank you, Chairman. The hardship fund is something I wanted to ask Deputy Leader a question on. We know that in the past the acceptance of the hardship fund hasn't really been doing its job properly because people haven't been taking the hardship fund up. One of the things that I read through the report on page C196 was that the hardship fund is actually authorised at the discretion of the council. Again, that discretion is, if people being accepted for the hardship funds, are the constraints too tight and are still people still falling through the nets? That is a concern that I have. But I do very much support Councillor Garrett's proposal insofar as we have more children on the island that are in poverty, we have more residents in pure poverty, and we have more working families that are suffering from benefits, sanctions that make it difficult for them to work. We should be supporting those people, and this paper does not properly do that. So I will be supporting, it's not perfect, it's very far from perfect, but it is better than the proposals that are being put across the other side of the chamber. So thank you for that, Councillor Garrett. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Members, this is not a question, Garrett, it is a debate. Councillor, I just want to come up at the end. Councillor.
A rough calculation is that this will cost £500,000. We have a duty as the council to put in a balanced budget. The vast majority of our budget is actually on children's services and adult social care. So the inference is we have to cut something from there, which are the same people. So you're taking out one hand and giving back the other. So if this was a serious thought rather than a political opportunism, this should be presented as a fully costed budget amendment. It shouldn't be here now, it should be here when we're putting it for the budget in the first place. The money is cynical.
Thank you, Councillor Brooks. Councillor Brady.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just for Councillor Quirk's information, as I recall, we have made this decision by January every year, so it's not a central part of it. It has to be dealt with by January, and in fact, actually early this time, no problem. And it's normally the ignorant stewards, nobody's head. So just a point of fact. One of the themes of the report and throughout the appendices, if you wade through them all, etc., is why we're doing this. You know, the reason is universal credit. And Councillor Richardson referred to the myriad changes in universal credit, you know, causing distress and uncertainty. And of course, there's an irony here that universal credit was brought in by an MP who I genuinely hope loses his seat by money and doesn't spill to introduce an element of predictability. And yet, as somebody who represents a ward where many people survive on universal credit, the introduction of that on the Isle of Wight has had a devastating effect on so many families who struggle, who scratch around for this 50p here, this 50p here and there, to provide milk perhaps for their children so they can have cereal in the morning and such like that. So there is an irony there that we're talking about distress and uncertainty when it's resulting from the introduction of universal credit, and hopefully that appalling benefit will be abandoned at some point in the future. The main point I want to make is, though, is the hardship scheme, something that I secured out of the previous administration when I think it was the coalition government actually brought in the Lib Dems were in alliance with them, so the Greens in those days, brought in the fact that you had to pay a percentage of your council tax even if you didn't have been to your name, and secured the hardship scheme out of that. But frankly, over the years, we haven't really promoted it. It's a discretionary element of money, and I think Councillor Hudson's referred to about 12,000 in the last year or whatever being paid out of what is a six-figure fund. Now, Councillor Quirk refers to a £500,000 saving here. I'm not sure if that's a correct figure. I don't know if it's maybe, but certainly any deficiency in supporting Councillor Garrett's amendment could be met
I want to get sort of spent from the hardship fund, you know, in the longer term. Currently, that was spent, it is used as an incidental saving as part of, you know, balance of the books at the end of the year. But it does seem to me that the hardship scheme, you know, isn't promoted well, and that maybe should be looked at in the entire round of the difficulties that people who have no money whatsoever have in trying to address a, you know, 25% of their council tax. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Ray. Councillor Stewart.
Thank you, Chair. I shall not be supporting this amendment, and I doubt my colleagues will either. There's an irony here. After all I said to our Liberal Democrat colleague up in the gallery about, and the other gentleman, about communication, the long comes council account at lastminute.com, and then decided that we should spend, it's around about £470,000 of council budget on I'm sorry, that's just not the way to run business. And this council has a duty to all the residents of the Isle of Wight to make sure that we manage the budget appropriately. This amendment, if agreed, as I say, would put over £470,000 at a time when we're trying to do the books. The other thing is, and I've spent a number of years of colleagues working with Councillor Hutchinson, everybody knows that he's very thorough, he would have considered a lot of aspects, and this paper by Councillor Hutchinson and indeed the officers that support him creates no change for people on this island, it's not on up. It's comprehensive and it allows us to be consistent as we approach this year's budget. So, I thank you, Councillor Garrett, by the way.
Thank you, Councillor Stewart. Councillor Love.
Thank you. When we talk about the hardship fund, I remember the pain of my mother and the shame that she felt having to ask for hardship funds when I was a child. And so, this is, you know, the hardship fund is not really promoted in a way that could actually enable people to engage with it, because it still feels like a shame to some people. I welcome what Councillor Garrett said, last minute or not, because anything at all, anything that can help to improve things for our citizens out there is a bonus and a benefit. So I very much appreciate that. I mean, we have to remember that hardship comes in many ways. We as a council and hardly an example of supporting our own community when we employ people on zero contact hours ourselves on the floating bridge and here in this building. And those are the people who are most affected when things crash, if you like, or even break down, as the floating bridge does, who then lose significant amounts of money and rely on benefits. So I will be supporting this, and we should be seeking to find the money rather than looking at how we're going to cut other services to support it.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Barry, you do second this amendment. Would you like to speak now?
Thank you. We're told that many occasions just recently that austerity is over. There's millions of pounds coming to the other way. Good times are just around the corner. Yeah, that might be an election even by certain people, I don't know. I just assume that Boris and all the rest of them are all telling the truth. If these good times are coming and austerity is over, this is a chance by this amendment to share some of that, some of those good times, some of that money that we're going to get with the poorest and the worst off of our own society. So I urge you to ignore your leader for once and vote with us and do something about easing the lot of those that aren't as well off as what we all are.
Thank you, Councillor Barry. Okay, we'll go to Councillor Hutchinson to respond, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Three points there. Firstly, I'm quite happy to look at the wording. Certainly is not our intention. As you said, we've all been in that position. My parents were in that position. I know exactly what you mean. Secondly, we are not reducing support. It would have been quite easy because we got a majority
to say, well, let's knock it down by another 10% and save £1 million, sorts out the budget problem. We're not doing that. We recognise that this is a real benefit for people on very low incomes. Comments have been made about the hardship scheme and it doesn't really work. Well, I deal with it all the time. It does work. Anybody who is having a problem can claim on the hardship fund and we give out payments to cover that. And that can be more than 75% that we're talking about. So there is not evidence that it doesn't work. I do appreciate that if you have to apply for a fund rather than get it given to you automatically, then it is more difficult. We all get stuff given to us automatically. I just received £100 worth of wind fuel payment. I don't know why I get it. We all get that. So what we're trying to do is to acknowledge that it is actually a really difficult position and that we're trying to target the money to the people who most need it. So there is no cut. The amount of the change of 5% as a statutory improvement would mean 470, maybe 500, let's call it about £500,000 a year. And our 3-year medium term budget would mean that instead of finding £4.5 million every year, we're going to find five. So we're actually looking at five. If we carried this on each year, which presumably we want to do, we're looking at finding another £1.5 million. That has to come from the residents of this island, many of whom are just about managing and can't claim for anything. So what we're trying to do is achieve a balance. Anybody who is in real difficulty gets help. We are still paying £7,000 out of every £10 of their council tax. And having wrestled with the next year's budget for hour upon hour with our Section 151 officer, the leader, cabinet members, and the chief exec, I know just how difficult it is going to be for us to find that £4.5 million. We're certainly not in a position to find five. And so, unfortunately, whilst I agree with the sentiments, the practicality of it is that we just cannot afford to increase it. So I will be voting against the amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Hutchison. If we look at the amendment from Councillor Garrett, we will vote on that first now. Those in favour for all, please, Chair. Then vote. Thank you. Well, then vote. We will call the names out, and that member will indicate whether they vote for the amendment, against the amendment, or abstain from voting on that amendment. And we start calling the names, please.
Councillor Abraham.
Okay.
Councillor Axford.
Again.
Councillor Bursey.
Again.
Councillor Beston?
Against.
Councillor Churchman?
Against.
Councillor Hastings?
Against.
Councillor Henry?
Against.
Councillor Hobart?
Against.
Councillor Hutchinson?
Against.
Councillor Merkel?
Against.
Councillor Nicholson?
Against.
Councillor Abdul?
Against.
Councillor Peace?
Against.
Councillor Price?
Against.
Councillor Quirk?
Against.
Councillor Ward?
Against.
Councillor Whistle?
Against.
Councillor Dagger?
For.
Councillor Foote?
For.
Councillor Hamm?
For.
Councillor Meadows?
For.
Councillor PC Wilcox?
For.
Councillor Stevens?
For.
Councillor Love?
For.
Councillor Lilly?
For.
Councillor Brody?
For.
Councillor Barry?
For.
Councillor Garrett?
For.
Councillor Cameron?
Against.
Councillor Smart?
For.
Councillor Stewart?
Against.
Those.
15 against, 12, 4. So, amendment is formed. We go back to Councillor Righteousness paper. Has been seconded, and we can debate that. We never wish to speak on that. We go straight to the vote. And we start. Four for Labour, four. Okay, there's four Councillor Hutchinson's way out.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Those against?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
And any abstentions? Those 19, 4, and 12 against, and that is carried. Thank you very much. We go to item 8.